Chapter 3. So, Kim Dok-ja had made a mistake. When people recounted meeting their soulmates for the first time, they often described experiencing an instant feeling of connection. But Kim Dok-ja had always thought that those stories were fanciful flourishes. Either those people were bragging, or their brains had played tricks on them due to wishful thinking and a heightened emotional state. Some romantic nonsense, he had told Han Se-young. But there would have been absolutely no way for Kim Dok-ja to ignore that the man in front of him was his soulmate, even if his face hadn't been as familiar to him as his own. He recognized him in a way that went deeper than memory, deeper than physical senses. He felt like a young bird at the end of his first migration, discovering an alien land below, yet knowing in his bones that this was his home. If Yoo Jin-hyuk felt this too? Kim Dok-ja's pulse was beating in his ears. Yoo Jin-hyuk's eyes were on him, unblinking. He hadn't moved from the doorway. Kim Dok-ja opened his mouth. I can go if you... No. In an instant, Yoo Jin-hyuk had unfrozen and crossed the room. His large hands closed around Kim Dok-ja's arms. It struck him like a thunderclap, like an earthquake. In the back of his mind, the wall shook. For a fraction of a second, part of it crumbled, light shone through. The sensation disappeared as fast as it had come, but Yoo Jin-hyuk's features had slackened. He stared at Kim Dok-ja, dazed. Kim Dok-ja felt something ugly try to rise up his throat. He swallowed it down. "All right," he said, his voice hoarse. "All right. I won't go."
"Master," gaped Lee Ji-hae.
He had forgotten entirely about the other people in the room. Uriel looked back and forth between them, alarmed.
"Captain, is something wrong?"
Lee Hyun-sung said. "Sorry, but could you guys give us a few minutes?" Kim Dok-ja said. Uriel frowned in worry. Kim Namun lifted sardonic eyebrows.
"Master,"
Lee Ji-hae prompted again, glaring warily at the newcomer. Yoo Jin-hyuk recovered himself somewhat.
"Leave,"
he said, not looking away from Kim Dok-ja. Lee Ji-hae seemed put out, but she let Lee Hyun-sung, heard her and Kim Namun out. Uriel followed after them and closed the door. Kim Dok-ja avoided Yoo Jin-hyuk's eyes. He had seen this beautiful face plenty of times through a high-quality webcam. He didn't understand why physical eye contact had felt so different. The silence stretched.
"Your name?"
Yoo Jin-hyuk asked.
"Kim Dok-ja." "Strange name."
"I hear that often." Yoo Jin-hyuk's lips thinned. He stepped back, hands trailing away from Kim Dok-ja's arms. He seemed at a loss for words. That was natural. After all, this mess was Kim Dok-ja's doing. Kim Dok-ja forced himself to look at him properly. Thankfully, the bone-deep recognition was gone.
"I'm sorry, Yoo Jin-hyuk."
Yoo Jin-hyuk frowned at him.
"I didn't realize you weren't getting anything from my end of the bond. I didn't know."
Yoo Jin-hyuk looked taken aback.
"Your end of the bond,"
he said. Kim Dok-ja nodded.
"Then you..."
Yoo Jin-hyuk said, then trailed off. There was no tactful way to put this. "Yes, I've been getting fulgurations. For the past 20 years, I've been getting them." Yoo Jin-hyuk moved to the window behind Uriel's desk. He stared out, his large back to Kim Dok-ja. Kim Dok-ja wasn't fooled. This outwardly cool appearance was Yoo Jin-hyuk's go-to tactic when he was flustered.
"How?"
he eventually asked. This wasn't a question that Kim Dok-ja wanted to answer, but he owed Yoo Jin-hyuk something at least.
"It's my fault," he confessed. "A problem on my end." Yoo Jin-hyuk turned back to him. His dark eyes dissected Kim Dok-ja's features. "Earlier," he said. Kim Dok-ja had an inkling of what had happened when the wall had shaken. He kept his voice neutral. "You got one." Yoo Jin-hyuk didn't bother confirming. Slowly, he raised his hand. Kim Dok-ja didn't step away. Yoo Jin-hyuk took his arm again. Nothing happened. The wall remained intact, and Yoo Jin-hyuk showed no reaction. Kim Dok-ja's frantic heartbeat slowed down. He gave a bitter smile. "It couldn't be that easy, I guess." Yoo Jin-hyuk let him go. He kept staring.
"You're Uriel's new assistant."
Kim Dok-ja felt a pang. He would never have tried meeting Yoo Jin-hyuk this way if he had the slightest inkling that Yoo Jin-hyuk might recognize him on sight. "If it's too much," he said, "I can just give you my contact information and go. I don't have to..."
"No."
Yoo Jin-hyuk cut him off with a frown. He glanced away.
"No, stay."
Then he walked to the door and left. This could have gone better. This could also have gone a lot worse. Yoo Jin-hyuk didn't seem to resent his intrusion into his life, at least. Not right now, anyway. Maybe he would feel differently once he had time to absorb what had happened. They didn't cross paths again that day. Whatever Yoo Jin-hyuk had told Uriel when he had exited the office, it hadn't dampened her enthusiasm about her new assistant. So Kim Dok-ja was kept busy with an endless slew of introductions and work briefings. But considering that Yoo Jin-hyuk was bound to be in a troubled mood, maybe Kim Dok-ja should have expected the fulguration that bloomed in the afternoon. Normally, fulgurations didn't prevent him from working, but this one turned out different because Yoo Jin-hyuk was thinking about him. Excerpts of their conversation kept running through Yoo Jin-hyuk's mind, even as he reviewed Kim Namoon's performance in the media room. He was distracted, and Yoo Jin-hyuk was never distracted during work. Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Namoon kept throwing him curious glances.
"They've been doing this all day,"
Yoo Jin-hyuk griped to himself, pointedly ignoring them.
"It's that guy's fault."
A flash of Kim Dok-ja's face, his calm eyes, too calm, thought Yoo Jin-hyuk, annoyed that he had been the one most off-kilter. His nondescript suit, the thinness of his arms when Yoo Jin-hyuk had touched him. Yoo Jin-hyuk was analyzing everything about him. After a childhood like his, Kim Dok-ja didn't get embarrassed easily, but now his cheeks burned. He had to duck behind his computer to escape Uriel's notice. He half wanted to go bang on the media room's door and remind Yoo Jin-hyuk that he wasn't always alone in his head, but it would have just mortified Yoo Jin-hyuk and ignited his temper. Kim Dok-ja didn't want to die. But he was left unnerved. He hadn't wanted to see this. Fulgurations had sometimes shown him glimpses of Yoo Jin-hyuk's reactions to Demon King of Salvation, but this felt worse somehow. On top of that, for the first time of his life, he felt a sprinkle of guilt at the accidental eavesdropping. For once, he was in a position to signal his presence, and he didn't. The fulguration faded naturally. At 5, noise in the corridor signaled that Team 999 was preparing to head home. The team under Gabriel's responsibility would stay much longer, but Yoo Jin-hyuk, Lee Hyun-sung, Kim Namoon, and Lee Ji-hae would finish their day's training at home. That had been Yoo Jin-hyuk's condition to sign with Transcendence. Kim Namoon poked his head into the office.
"Good evening, Uriel-si. Good evening, Minyeon. See you tomorrow."
Uriel and Kim Dok-ja returned the farewell. But though Lee Ji-hae and Lee Hyun-sung also chimed in, Yoo Jin-hyuk had already disappeared. Since nobody seemed to find it unusual, Kim Dok-ja tried not to take it personally. The end of his own workday came. By the time Kim Dok-ja made it to the restaurant, Han Soo-young was already waiting for him at their usual table. She was munching on a toothpick that had come with her cocktail.
"Finally," she said, perking up as soon as she spotted him.
"So, that first day at the new job?" He sat heavily in the opposite seat and stared into the distance. His eyes hurt. His spine hurt. He could still hear Uriel's voice drilling calendar management into his brain. That bad, huh? You going to quit?
I have been forbidden to.
What? By who?
He propped his head on his hand and looked at her in wariness.
Why do you care, anyway? This is the first time you've asked this many questions about one of my jobs.
Because you won't tell me anything about this one, she fumed. You're obviously plotting something. I want in.
In.
She kicked his chair.
I want to know what the hell you're doing. It's bound to be interesting, even especially if it goes down in flames.
Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Hey, you should be flattered. You're my main source of inspiration for ill-advised decisions.
Before he could answer, the waiter approached their table. Kim Dokja managed to drag one more social smile out of a quickly depleting well. As soon as the man was gone with their order, Han Seong said,
If you won't tell me about the job, at least tell me about the soulmate.
Kim Dokja stared at her, unimpressed. Han Seong was certainly smart enough to realize that the two subjects were more linked than he had let on. He had gotten cagey about his job search right after discovering his PSI syndrome.
Oh, come on, she said when he didn't answer. You never tell me anything important about the guy.
That was true. He had done all he could to avoid Han Seong figuring out the identity of his soulmate. It had always felt like something that should be kept private. Besides, if she had known that his soulmate lived so close, she would definitely have nagged him to make contact. He hadn't wanted that. He hadn't wanted his world to intersect with Yoo Jin-hyuk's, not even during joking conversations with his friends. But their worlds had irredeemably collided today. There was no taking it back.
It's Yoo Jin-hyuk.
Han Si-young choked on the last sip of her drink. She spluttered and hacked.
The streamer you're obsessed with?
She shouted.
He's a pro gamer, he said, throwing a napkin at her.
Shut your face! Oh my god, he is Korean!
He sure is.
Your soulmate was Korean the whole time?
Do you mind lowering your volume?
He said, turning away from the glares they were getting from other tables. She ignored him. She planted her elbows on the table and hid her face in her hands.
I could have been speaking to him the whole time, she lamented.
Wait, you have been speaking to him.
Aren't you his damn chat mod?
Yeah, well, he doesn't know that yet.
She eyed him like there was no redeeming quality to be found on his person.
What does the poor guy know, really?
A great deal more than he did yesterday, he retorted, studiously examining her glass. She blinked.
Wait, you talked to him? You walked up to him and told him? No way.
No, I figured it would go better if he got to know me before I dropped the bomb on him, so I got hired by his company, but he recognized me on sight.
Han Si-young was holding on to her laughter so hard she was shaking. Her face was slowly turning red.
Just get it over with, Kim Dokja sighed.
He couldn't pretend that he hadn't earned this.
So, she managed, did he have fulgurations?
No.
But he recognized you anyway. That sounds like romantic nonsense, Kim Dokja.
Shut up.
She giggle-snorted, coughed, then poured herself water from the complimentary pitcher. He was honestly impressed by her restraint. He had expected her to be laughing like a hyena by now. But once she had gulped down her glass, she set it down with a resolute thunk and looked him in the eye.
Are you freaking out?
He was so taken aback that he didn't answer at once.
I'm fine, he said, finally.
Han Si-young raised skeptical eyebrows. She seemed on the verge of saying something. In the end, she looked away.
I'm a bit surprised, she said. I thought you were keeping your distance from the guy, but it turns out you've been stalking him online for years. What did he do to hook you like that?
His streams are very entertaining.
You wouldn't have gotten into eSport if it hadn't been for him, she scoffed.
As usual, coming uncomfortably fast to uncomfortably accurate assumptions about Kim Dokja.
He's the only pro gamer you follow.
So?
So you sure didn't get interested in him because of his job. How old were you when your fulguration started, anyway? 13? 15? Was it the face? Did you imprint on him in a cloud of teenage hormones?
No. Kim Dokja glanced out the window without really seeing the pedestrians outside. Not 13 or 15. He had been 8. He was at school the first time. He zoned out right there in the courtyard in the middle of recess and took a ball to the face for his trouble. When he tried to explain what had happened, it took the teacher far longer than it should have to understand what he meant. It was rare for a child to get fulgurations that young. Rarer still for the child's fulgurations to be fully sensory. It wasn't completely unheard of, though, and it didn't have to be a problem as long as Kim Dokja learned to ignore the visions. He didn't. From the very start, he was fascinated by his soulmate's life. Every time that window opened into Yoo Jung-hyuk's world, he paid ravenous attention. It was like a story written just for him, a story about a brave, talented boy, a story where adults were an afterthought, like in all good adventure books, a story where nobody yelled, where opening the front door was never followed by the stench of alcohol. Yoo Jung-hyuk basically lived on his own. He cooked for himself, he did his own laundry, he kept his room clean, he did his homework effortlessly. His teacher often praised him, his classmates always wanted to play with him at recess. Meanwhile, Kim Dokja hadn't been popular to start with, since he spent most of his time with his nose in a book, but it only got worse as he began spacing out with increasing regularity. The teachers scolded him countless times for his lack of focus. The children whispered about him and avoided him when they didn't find him an easy target for bullying. One bold teacher walked up to Kim Dokja's mother one day to suggest finding her son's unruly soulmate sooner rather than later. Bond control is traditionally taught in middle school, but I'm afraid that if you wait until then, Dokja's education will be greatly stunted. If the parents of the other child are receptive, it would be good if that child could start bond control lessons early. Lee Soo-kyung smiled and nodded until the woman was gone. Then she looked into Kim Dokja's eager eyes. When you are older, we'll find him, she told him. Kim Dokja wilted. It was the same thing she always said. At that age, Kim Dokja shared everything he learned about his soulmate with his mother. She listened with an expression that, years later, he would describe as bittersweet. She knew Yoo Jung-hyuk lived in Seoul. She knew Kim Dokja had long memorized his address. But when Kim Dokja asked to go, this was the answer she always gave. Some days, Kim Dokja wanted to rage at her. Why did he have to wait? Even the teacher said to find Yoo Jung-hyuk. Yet something in him already understood Lee Soo-kyung's decision, in the same way that he understood whenever the front door opened and she ordered him to his room, in the same way that he knew to keep quiet when he heard voices rise and glass break in the living room. Making contact with Yoo Jung-hyuk would have meant bringing him into this. His father hated the vacant stare Kim Dokja sported during fulgurations. Kim Dokja learned to hide it. He entered middle school. From then on, he diligently practiced bond control. He didn't want to burden Yoo Jung-hyuk with glimpses of his ugly life. But though he knew that Yoo Jung-hyuk was following the same class as he did, the frequency of the fulgurations never diminished. It seemed to be the only thing Yoo Jung-hyuk had no talent for. So his story continued for Kim Dokja, both a blessing and a curse. Then Kim Dokja's life fell apart. Once the dust had settled and he was left all alone in the world, he waited with bated breath for the fulgurations to stop. It felt like the bond should be severed. It would only take Yoo Jung-hyuk receiving one fulguration for him to realize what had happened, because Kim Dokja couldn't stop thinking about it, couldn't stop rereading it again and again like his mother had asked him to. And then Yoo Jung-hyuk would want nothing to do with him. But like clockwork, the next fulguration came. Yoo Jung-hyuk had just discovered what would later become his flagship game, Ways of Survival. He was staring in betrayal at the message written on his screen.
You have died.
No way, he seethed. This is definitely the right way to clear that puzzle. He respawned his character and returned to the place of his defeat. Soon,
you have died.
This game is bugged. Kim Dokja watched in numb disbelief as Yoo Jung-hyuk bashed his head against that wall again and again. Not a thought was spared to the catastrophe that had beset his soulmate's life. He just kept playing. Kim Dokja saw that morbid message flash a dozen times in quick succession. Before he knew it, he was laughing. It was an ugly laugh, and he couldn't seem to stop. Mock me all you want, Yoo Jung-hyuk thought, fuming at the death message that had appeared again. I'm not dead. I'm right here. Kim Dokja's laughter cut off. I will do this as many times as I need to. I will keep getting back on my feet. It's only over if I give up. This was no longer about the game. It was about an empty house, a gnawing solitude, and an unknown future. Kim Dokja had been watching Yoo Jung-hyuk for years, but only in that instant did he truly see him. Yoo Jung-hyuk mashed that key, and Kim Dokja, too, responded. Iriel may not have changed her mind about hiring Kim Dokja, but it was obvious that whatever Yoo Jung-hyuk had told her about his strange reaction to her assistant hadn't been enough to quell her curiosity either. You didn't come in with Yoo Jung-hyuk today? She asked Kim Dokja the next morning, innocent as freshly fallen snow. Her question would have felt more natural if Kim Dokja had crossed paths with Yoo Jung-hyuk even once since their private meeting. She was fishing for information. Kim Dokja could easily have spun some tale about him and Yoo Jung-hyuk being old acquaintances, but he didn't want to risk getting caught in a lie. Uriel would resent it, and he was hoping to build a good relationship with her. Not only because they worked together, but because he genuinely liked her. This left him parrying her inquiries with bland answers and guileless smiles. At least Uriel seemed to be enjoying their little verbal spars. Kyrgios Rodgrim wasn't the type to enjoy verbal spars. Kim Dokja became aware of that as he stood in the glaring man's office 24 hours after their introductions. I heard there was a commotion yesterday, Kyrgios said, sounding like a commotion was a crime punishable by death. My apologies. It was settled quickly and won't happen again. The evasive statement only seemed to wind Kyrgios up. What's your relationship with Yoo Jung-hyuk? He asked. I'm sure he'd call me a stranger. Then why did he demand to talk to you? Kim Dokja shrugged. I'd rather not divulge the contents of a private conversation. Are you testing me? Kyrgios said, his voice low. Was Kim Dokja pushing his luck too much? The contract was signed now. Even if he was in his probationary period, Korean law prevented Kyrgios from firing him without a rational and objective justification. Won't answer invasive questions didn't qualify. But Kyrgios could still make his work life hell. Somehow, though, Kim Dokja doubted it would happen. The icy anger in the man's eyes felt familiar. Kim Dokja could see right through to the pride beneath, to the worry that he might not be able to protect something dear. He held back a smile. Namgun Minyoung really had a type. I'm not some insane fan. Kyrgios stopped short, surprised by the sudden straightforwardness. Nor do I present a danger for anyone in this office, Kim Dokja added. That sounds like something an insane fan might say. Do you think I would be standing before you if Yoo Jung-hyuk objected to my presence? You seem that shameless type. Wow, it took so little backtalking to be classified as a problem employee. Do I also seem fearless enough to mess with Yoo Jin-hyuk under President Namgun Minyong-nim's roof? This drew a startled bark of laughter from Kyrgios.
At least you're not totally clueless,
he said, a repeat of their first meeting. The look he leveled on Kim Dokja was appraising. He finally sat back in his plush desk chair.
You're aware of what awaits you in the near future, so I will let this go,
he said with a mean smile. Kim Dokja bowed his head and let the man dismiss him. Of course he did know. He was lucky that Namgun Minyong was currently away on a business trip. The work itself was fine. Kim Dokja knew a lot more about the company's daily dealings than someone uninitiated should have, and Uriel seemed pleased with the speed at which he was picking things up. The tasks were more diverse than he was used to, and he found that even things that he had never been a fan of, like phone calls, came to him more easily in this context. Of course, the downside was that he had far less time to slack off and read web novels, but he liked learning more about Yoo Jin-hyuk's fields and organizing things in the background of his life. Inevitably, he and Yoo Jin-hyuk bumped into each other. First, they crossed paths in the corridor. Kim Dokja nodded and called a good morning. Yoo Jin-hyuk stared. Later, Yoo Jin-hyuk entered the restroom as Kim Dokja was washing his hands. Kim Dokja met his eyes in the mirror and greeted him by name. Yoo Jin-hyuk stared. Later still, Kim Dokja reached the break room door just as it opened and Team 999 exited. He apologized and stepped aside. Yoo Jin-hyuk stared. On Saturday, Uriel organized a team meeting to talk about the upcoming world championship. Kim Dokja sat in as an observer, but he felt more like an observee. Yoo Jin-hyuk's eyes on him were now intense enough that the staring was edging into glaring. Is there a problem? Uriel asked, looking caught between laughter and worry.
No,
Yoo Jin-hyuk said. But he didn't stop. Lee Hyun-sung seemed distraught. Lee Ji-hae scowled at Kim Dokja like he had killed a litter of puppies in front of her.
All right, seriously, Kim Namun said, highly entertained. Come on, what's going on with you two? Are you going to brawl with the minion captain? That could be fun, but he looks like a twig. I doubt he'd last long.
Shut up, Kim Namun.
Do you know him, master?
Lee Ji-hae asked next.
I said.
Yoo Jin-hyuk growled, finally turning his glower to his teammates.
That's none of your business.
Kim Dokja coughed. You're kind of making it their business disrupting the meeting like this, he said, mild as milk, ignoring the five pairs of eyes swiveling to him with various amounts of surprise and anger. He added, Do you have something to say to me, Yoo Jin-hyuk? It was easy to read the man's outrage.
What could I possibly have to say to you?
He snapped.
Wow, wasn't this jerk so nice?
Yes, they were strangers. What a kind reminder. Kim Dokja gave him his fakest smile. Then pay attention, won't you? Lee Ji-hae gaped at his gall, but Yoo Jin-hyuk just looked away.
Continue, Uriel.
Right. At the end of the meeting, Kim Dokja waited next to the door while everyone else filed away. Yoo Jin-hyuk drew even with him.
Are you sure you don't want me to leave? Kim Dokja asked him.
Four unsubtle eavesdroppers froze in the corridor. Yoo Jin-hyuk slammed the door closed on them.
I said it's fine,
he stressed.
You could have changed your mind. I didn't.
You realize that if Namgun Minyong thinks I'm making trouble for you, she'll skewer me. Yoo Jin-hyuk stiffened.
It's none of her business either,
he hissed. He stormed out, leaving Kim Dokja to roll his eyes behind his back. Like that would stop her. The following week, Namgun Minyong came back from her overseas trip. One could only guess that she had heard from Kyrgios since she promptly declared a mandatory company dinner.
Kim Dokja didn't know why she hadn't just summoned him to her office, but as far as first meetings went, this seemed to be a more advantageous setting for him. Surely she wouldn't get violent in a restaurant, too public. So, feeling cautiously optimistic, he found himself one evening following Uriel up a well-maintained path to a huge traditional house. His sense of safety lasted as long as it took him to recognize the curved roof and dog lying in front of the wooden door. He stopped and swallowed back a groan of dismay. This was not a restaurant. Well, now he could guess how the evening would go. Namgun Minyong's garden was certainly big enough to bury his body. "Good evening, Master," Uriel cheerily greeted the dog. Master got up to accept her pats, tail wagging. As Uriel stepped away from her to knock, the dog's intelligent eyes turned to Kim Dokja. He experienced a bout of nostalgia. The first time Yoo Jung-hyuk had met Master, he had finished buried under 70 pounds of fluff. Those were the days. But Master was also Namgun Minyong's guard dog, and purportedly a very good judge of character, so this was no time to reminisce. He held up a hand to be examined. For some reason, his heart was pounding in his chest. Master gave his palm a long sniff test. Finally, she sat at his feet and held her head in a way that was both permission and command. He exhaled, scratched at her ears. She gave a satisfied woof, and meandered back to the door, where an outrageously tall woman was now silhouetted. A pipe in hand, Namgun Minyong was staring at Kim Dokja with heavy-lidded eyes. He smiled at her and bowed. "Good evening, President Nim. I'm Kim Dokja." "Hmm," she said. She stepped aside to let them in. Master went first, then Uriel, with Kim Dokja bringing up the rear. He fought not to tense as he passed by Namgun Minyong. "Thank you for having us tonight, President Nim," Uriel said as they took off their shoes. Namgun Minyong made to answer, her eyes still on Kim Dokja. So this was where her protege had learned to stare, huh? But at that moment, voices floated through the open door. Gabriel was coming up the path, 73rd Demon World team in tow. Kim Dokja took advantage of the flurry of greetings that followed to slink away. He breathed easier once away from Namgun Minyong's scrutiny. Maybe he should have done an about turn when he'd realized where they were going, but how would he have explained that to Uriel? Maybe he could fake a phone call and pretend an emergency to leave? Or fake an allergic reaction during dinner? Could one be allergic to tomatoes? He found Lee Ji-hae, Han Dong-hoon, and Kim Nam-moon already chatting in the living room. "Hey, Ajisi, you made it," Kim Nam-moon said. "Ajisi?" He was a bit vexed. He wasn't that old. It was one thing when Kim Nam-moon addressed Demon King of Salvation like that, but now the brat could see his age for himself. Although he supposed Ajisi was still better than Minyan. Lee Hyun-sung entered the room through another doorway.
"Good evening, Kim Dokja-si," he said,
sounding as uncertain as he usually did around Kim Dokja.
"You guys got here early," he noted.
"Well, it's just..."
Lee Hyun-sung said with a vague gesture over his shoulder. The repetitive sound of a knife meeting a cutting board came from that direction. "Ah, of course. Is Yoo Jung-hyuk cooking?" He slipped down the hall rather than wait for an answer. When he reached it, the kitchen was alive with so many delicious scents it was an assault on the senses. Yoo Jung-hyuk's back was to him. That Yoo Jung-hyuk would cook for himself was a given. Looking back on it, it was logical that Namgun Minyong hadn't chosen a restaurant for this dinner, since Yoo Jung-hyuk would have refused to join if he had to eat food made by someone else. He was unreasonable like that. But from what Kim Dokja could see of the room, there was far too much food for Yoo Jung-hyuk to only be cooking for one person.
"You're cooking for everyone," he said in surprise. Wow, Namgun Minyong really was a miracle maker.
Yoo Jung-hyuk glared at him over his shoulder.
"Go away."
Well, he didn't want to question his good fortune. Getting to eat Yoo Jung-hyuk's cooking with his own mouth? That was like a dream come true. On the other hand, Yoo Jung-hyuk was working on his own to feed 20 people, and Kim Dokja really needed to make himself busy so that Namgun Minyoung wouldn't whisk him away for a casual chat. "Can I help?" he said, despite already knowing the answer he would receive.
"No, go away."
This guy really had no faith in anyone, huh? "Don't be stubborn, just point me at the stuff you won't eat." Yoo Jin-hyuk gave no answer. "You know I literally learned how to cook from you, right?" This did bring Yoo Jin-hyuk up short. He speared Kim Dokja with a searching look. Kim Dokja put up with a critical up and down examination that followed. How ridiculous. It was cooking, not martial arts, okay? Yoo Jin-hyuk wordlessly shoved a cutting board in his direction. Kim Dokja's eyelid twitched. It was covered in a small mountain of onions. What a petty bastard. Nevertheless, Kim Dokja was now committed. He shed his jacket and draped it on the back of the chair, rolled his sleeves up, washed his hands, and set to work. Instead of returning to his tasks, Yoo Jin-hyuk watched him like a hawk. Did he expect him to pour laxatives on the vegetables or what? Enduring that supervision steadily got more mortifying. Yoo Jin-hyuk, of course, was immune to cutting onion. Maybe it was because he had done it so often, or maybe it was because tears were ashamed of staining his stupid perfect protagonist's face. Whatever the case, Kim Dokja did not share that supernatural ability. His eyes were leaking like a fountain by the time Yoo Jin-hyuk finally turned back to the stove. Kim Dokja took advantage of that moment to furiously wipe his eyes on his sleeve. A blurry blue shape appeared in the doorway. The person stopped short.
"There you are," Kyrgyo said after a long minute.
Kim Dokja blinked to clear his vision.
"Good evening, Director Nim," he said dutifully.
Kyrgyo gave him a strange look. He probably hadn't expected to find him around Yoo Jin-hyuk of all people.
"I thought you might have already fled, but you were just hiding here," Kyrgyo said.
The eyes he set on the cutting board expressed a great deal of pity and judgment. Yes, well, so he did prefer cutting onions over subjecting himself to whatever grilling Namgun Minyoung had planned for him, so what?
"Are you done?"
Yoo Jin-hyuk rudely interrupted in a tone that implied he should be.
"Yes, Chef Nim,"
Kim Dokja shot back in his most grating voice. Yoo Jin-hyuk shoved him out of the way to inspect his work.
"These are not cut evenly."
"Some of us have to squint when we cut onions, Yoo Jin-hyuk. If you wanted to evaluate my technique, you should have given me the carrots."
Yoo Jin-hyuk wordlessly kicked the garbage bin closer.
"Oh, no, you don't,"
Kim Dokja said, and snatched the onions before Yoo Jin-hyuk could reach for them. He poured them into the waiting pan. They spread in the oil with a sizzling sound.
"Kim Dokja!"
Yoo Jin-hyuk made to lunge for the pan, but it was Kim Dokja's turn to elbow him out of the way.
"These are perfectly fine by anybody's standards but yours," he said. "If you don't want to use them, I will. It's the second batch anyway, you can just eat the first."
"You don't know the recipe."
Kim Dokja sneaked a glance at the doorway. Kyrgios was gone, but he still lowered his voice to retort,
"You make this at least twice a month. In what world don't I know the recipe?"
The reminder just seemed to agitate Yoo Jin-hyuk. He didn't shoo Kim Dokja out, but he buzzed around him like an angry bee. Kyrgios must have snitched because Namgun Minyoung made her appearance in the corridor. She watched as they worked around each other with a steady back and forth of annoyed quips. Her eyebrows were so high that they couldn't be seen behind the top of the doorframe.
"You have a new assistant, Yoo Jin-hyuk," she said.
"No. Add more pepper,"
he volleyed at Kim Dokja.
"Mind your own pot, Yoo Jin-hyuk."
Kim Dokja waited until Namgun Minyoung was gone and Yoo Jin-hyuk's back was turned before adding more pepper. While Yoo Jin-hyuk finished in the kitchen, Kim Dokja started ferrying dishes to the big dining room.
"Hi, Minyoung,"
Jung Hyung said, interrupting her arrangement of the chairs when she spotted him.
"Hey, he's our Minyoung,"
Kim Namun protested.
"Kyrgyos Nim said he's ours too,"
she retorted, looking smug. She was the leader of Transcendence Gaming's second team, the one dedicated to the strategy game 73rd Demon World. They were less united than Yujin Hyuk's team, since the game was 1v1, but they still trained together. Jung Hyung herself was not much older than Kim Namoon or Lee Jihae, but she was as blindingly beautiful as Yujin Hyuk, a fact which had considerably helped her popularity. "Stop calling him that," Gabriel intervened. "If anything, he's mine and Uriel's minion." To which Uriel glared and pouted at her, earning herself a gloating smile. Those two went along like cats and dogs, but it was obvious that they were close in their own way. "Anyway, Ajisi," Jung Hyung said, stopping him on his way back to the kitchen. "How old are you? 30-something? I'll put you on the elder's side of the table." First Kim Namoon, now her? Hey, were these children trying to start something? He gave a baleful glare at the chairs. The worst of it was that there was such a huge age gap between Transcendence's professional gamers and their administrative staff that speaking up would make no difference. He would be seated squarely in the middle of the table whether he wanted to or not.
"Kim Dokja is not 30.
Yujin Hyuk spoke up as he and Lee Hyun Sung entered with more dishes. He sounded affronted. Maybe this should have pleased Kim Dokja, but it just annoyed him more.
"Why? Because if I was, you'd have to use honorifics with me?"
he said, smiling stiffly.
"I'm older than you anyway, Yujin Hyuk. You are being a rude brat."
Yujin Hyuk's eyes narrowed in challenge.
"How old are you?"
28.
"We're the same age."
"I was born 6 months earlier than you."
"You're a petty guy."
"You should be calling me Hyung." Yujin Hyuk flinched in open disgust. It was true that Yujin Hyuk could skip honorifics since they were born in the same year, but Yujin Hyuk never used honorifics, so Kim Dokja felt that negated any good point he made. Jung Hyung was laughing up her sleeve. Lee Hyun Sung clapped his hands, visibly afraid that bloodshed was imminent.
The food, Captain. We can't let the food go cold."
He ushered Yujin Hyuk back into the kitchen. Kim Dokja soon found himself sandwiched between Uriel and Lee Hyun Sung. Lee Hyun Sung kept glancing at Yujin Hyuk seated across from Kim Dokja, like his team leader was in danger of leaping across the table to strangle their new assistant manager. His concern was touching, but Yujin Hyuk's attention was firmly on the food. To be fair, Kim Dokja's attention was also on the food. Thanks were given for the meal, and then Kim Dokja could finally taste Yujin Hyuk's cooking. He nearly wept. Ugh, to think that Yujin Hyuk had started as a health nut before he got into gastronomy. Where was the guy who thought chicken breast and salad made an appropriate breakfast? Life was so unfair. The air was filled with appreciative noises and compliments. Yujin Hyuk took it as a given. Predictably, the dish that Kim Dokja had made emptied more slowly than the others. It was good, but, well, he had never expected it to withstand the comparison.
"So, Kim Dokja si,"
Namgun Minyoung said from the head of the table.
"I saw your CV.
You used to work in QA, was it?"
"That's right."
"Isn't it only the guys who can't get better jobs that end up in QA?" Lee Jihae grumbled. She was clearly convinced that he had done some terrible thing to Yujin Hyuk and had decided to resent him on principle. That said, he couldn't refute her words. Namgun Minyoung's lips twitched, but she was tactful enough to brush over her intervention. "You worked for Minosoft's Korean branch, I saw."
"For a year or two, yes. That was an interesting time," he said, though apart from Yujin Hyuk's stream, nothing about it had been particularly interesting. What was she fishing for, anyway? "Was it on Ways of Survival?"
Kyrgios said.
"That's right, I was in the QA team for WOS.
Heads perked up. Yujin Hyuk wrenched himself away from his meal long enough to throw him a quick glance. Even Lee Jihae looked reluctantly interested.
"Can you give us insider tips then, Ajisi?"
Kim Namoon said with a wild grin. It's been a few years. All my tips would probably be obsolete.
It's nice that we have someone who knows the game as our assistant manager,
Lee Hyun-sung said. Ah, Lee Hyun-sung. Always so polite and friendly. Looking at this guy, you wouldn't believe that he had nearly joined the army.
I see you on the phone all the time in the break room,
Gabriel said.
Are you a social media addict like Donghoon-si?
Han Donghoon ducked into his rice bowl. Kim Dokja blinked, but Namgun Minyoung seemed indifferent to the topic change. Had she not been fishing for something then?
Wait, was this the getting to know you conversation?
Kim Dokja was more used to holding those in bars while trying to avoid drinks getting pressed into his hands.
No, I just read.
You like reading, Kim Dokja-si? Uriel asked.
As said on the tin, he confessed with a wry smile.
Oh, is that what Dokja means? Reader, not only child.
Well, that too.
He suddenly noticed that Yoo Jin-hyuk was looking at him. Against all the odds, he was listening. Kim Dokja's stomach gave a weird flip. This was the point where he would usually change the subject, but he heard himself add,
I think my father wanted me to have a strong, independent name, but my mother had her own idea. She was a bookworm.
So she sneaked it in? Uriel laughed. That's sly.
Kim Dokja smiled without answering. His throat had closed up. He couldn't understand what had possessed him to say this. He never brought up his parents if he could help it.
Uriel turned to talk to Gabriel, but Yoo Jin-hyuk kept watching him. Kim Dokja pushed food around on his plate. Dinner passed uneventfully, with good food and harmless conversation. Neither Kyrgios nor Namgun Minyoung tried to prod at him, and nobody brought up Yoo Jin-hyuk's strange outburst. Could it be said that Kim Dokja had been lured into a false sense of security?
Fancy seeing you here, Namgun Minyoung said, smiling, when he exited the bathroom to find her blocking his way back to the dining room.
Let's have a chat. Chapter 4. Namgun Minyoung's home office had the look of a room that didn't see much use. Some papers lay forgotten on the desk, and the bookshelves hadn't been dusted in a while. The ceiling light reflected on the window pane, hiding the dark garden beyond. Namgun Minyoung's large hand on Kim Dokja's shoulder guided him to a chair and pushed him down. He sat.
It's nice to finally have you to myself, she said with a shark-like grin as she took the closest seat, the better to loom over him.
As President Neem says.
If she expected him to be cowed, she was disappointed. Namgun Minyoung may have been biding her time, but while she was sizing him up, he had been sizing her up. Would he have been foolish enough to isolate himself otherwise? His bladder could have waited until he was back home. Her grin faded as she took in his attitude.
Letting me see you cook with Junhuk-ki was inspired, she said, sounding more irritated than impressed.
Thank you, President Neem.
He allows you strange liberties. One would nearly think you were blackmailing him.
Kim Dokja didn't gratify such an absurdity with an answer.
But then he wouldn't have tried your cooking during dinner, she allowed.
Kim Dokja's composure slipped. What was she talking about? He hadn't seen Yoo Jung-hyuk do any such thing. Why would he have? Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't eat what had been made by others.
Noticing his reaction, Namgun Minyoung gave him a mean smile.
He didn't go for seconds, she told him sweetly. He held in a twitch.
Is that so?
So the brat had just tasted the dish so he could complain later? Kim Dokja should have thrown the extra pepper at his face instead.
What are you to Junghyuk-ki?
Namgun Minyoung said. Her expression was intent. As expected, she didn't have much patience for beating around the bush. Kim Dokja looked the lion in the eyes, opened his mouth.
Why doesn't President Neem ask Yoo Jung-hyuk?
and poked it. Namgun Minyong darkened like a storm cloud was bearing down on her. That child is stubborn. He doesn't always know what's good for him. Then if Yoo Jung-hyuk wouldn't tell you, why should I? Are you refusing to tell me? I see no interest in answering. I am your employer. Certainly, President Neem. You won't answer your president's questions? President Neem may ask all the questions she wants about my credentials. You don't have any. Not for my current position, that's true. Then why don't I just fire you? President Neem can certainly cherry-pick her employees, but can Transcendence Gaming really afford to be so short-staffed? She glared at him. He didn't budge. The moment she had engaged him in this conversation, he had known that he had nothing to fear. If Namgun Minyong objected to something, she acted. She didn't argue the point to death. He just had to talk circles around her until she got sick of him and dismissed him. She leaned toward him, throwing her shadow over his entire body. She pointedly articulated each word. Are you sleeping with my disciple? He reached for his next reflexive counter and found nothing. What? He heard himself say. The door slammed open. Teacher! Yoo Jung-hyuk shouted. Master was wrapped around his legs and panting with obvious delight. He had a hand buried in her fur to keep his balance. How long had those two been wrestling in the corridor, one trying to pass through and the other cheerfully obeying her command to stop him? My Yoo Jung-hyuk-a, Namgun Minyong drawled. Were you eavesdropping? There was no doubt from the look on Yoo Jung-hyuk's face that he had at least caught the tail end of their exchange. For some reason, Kim Dokja found it easier to stare at the dog. She looked so happy. It must be nice to live an uncomplicated pet life.
You're out of line, Yoo Jung-hyuk said.
I think I should be made aware if two of my employees are having an affair. Kim Dokja stood up. Since Yoo Jung-hyuk is here, you can continue this conversation with him, he said with a wooden smile. I hear the others leaving. I wouldn't want to overstay my welcome.
Kim Dokja,
Yoo Jung-hyuk grated, as Kim Dokja sidled around him.
I don't care what you say to her as long as you do not let your mother figure think I'm having a homosexual affair with a man just divorced.
Kim Dokja hissed at him from the corner of his mouth. Yoo Jung-hyuk seemed on the verge of arguing, probably against the mother figure part, like his denial could possibly hold any water. But Kim Dokja accidentally pushed against his shoulder, causing him to trip over Master's body and into the room proper. Kim Dokja bowed at Namgun Minyong, wished her a good evening, and closed the door. Kim Dokja slept the sleep of the just that night. Really, there was no reason why Namgun Minyong and Yoo Jung-hyuk's communication issues should be his problem. They couldn't be so bad at talking that Namgun Minyong thought her protege would take a man as his lover, would take Kim Dokja as his lover. Surely she had been trying to goad him into reacting. Yoo Jung-hyuk could tank her assault himself. Kim Dokja would just stay out of the way. He was humming in the shower the next morning, rather satisfied with the way he had handled this, when the water suddenly turned freezing. He jumped, startled awake. He cursed the building's old pipes and turned the faucet off, but ice kept running over his skin. Belatedly, he saw Yoo Jung-hyuk's hand superimposed on his. It was fiddling with a faucet far more modern than Kim Dokja's. The fulguration had started without Kim Dokja noticing. For once, the problem was not in his building. Yoo Jung-hyuk was cursing, too, much more viciously than Kim Dokja, for how unused he was to the cold shower.
Just give it up, Jung-hyuk-a,
Kim Dokja pleaded. Yoo Jung-hyuk kept fighting with the faulty device. Kim Dokja turned his shower back on, the water as hot as it would go. All it did was make him woozy from the contradictory sensations. Sighing, he gave up and started drying himself.
A soul bond is a profound spiritual connection. Yeah, his goosebumped ass.
At least Yoo Jung-hyuk wasn't thinking of him today. Yoo Jung-hyuk's rotten mood didn't seem to be only due to plumbing issues, but he was too busy trying to resuscitate his apartment's hot water circuit to reflect on anything else. Eventually, he had to let it go and rush through the rest of his and Mia's morning routine. Kim Dokta was in the subway by the time the fulguration stopped. 20 minutes later, Kim Dokta was clutching a cup holder and people watching with absent eyes at the foot of Transcendence Gaming's building. Yoo Jung-hyuk appeared, sweeping through the crowd with ground-eating strides. He slowed down as he spotted Kim Dokta, his expression turning wary. Kim Dokta thrust one of his three coffees at him. Yoo Jung-hyuk stared down at it. The moment lingered. "You don't want it?" Yoo Jung-hyuk slowly took the cup. Kim Dokta used his freed hand to lift his own drink to his lips.
"If you're going to apologize, don't act that way in the first place,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, frustrated. "Oh, I'm not apologizing," Kim Dokja told him blithely. "I'm commiserating." He turned to go in. Yoo Jung-hyuk caught him by the arm. He was frowning at his coffee. At least he wasn't as picky about this as he was about food. Or rather, he hated coffee, but he did lower himself to drinking it when he lacked the time for the lengthy preparations of his favorite tea. Did he understand that Kim Dokja knew that?
"Earlier, I projected?"
"Yes." Yoo Jung-hyuk's jaw clenched. He finally took a sip. As expected, his eyes scrunched in displeasure. It must still have been hot, because he didn't just down it. He swept into the lobby without looking at Kim Dokta. Kim Dokta followed. He licked his lips. The atmosphere felt awkward suddenly.
"So, what did you end up telling Nam-gun Min-young?" he prodded. "It's your business what you want her to know, but you understand that there is no reason why she should come after me instead of..."
"The fulgurations,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk cut in. Kim Dokcha closed his mouth. He had expected this conversation much earlier.
"Do they happen often?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk asked. Kim Dokcha gave a wry smile. Yoo Jung-hyuk had to have guessed the answer to this. He was the one who had never bothered practicing bond control when he thought it was useless to him. "A few times a week." Yoo Jung-hyuk's lips thinned. He glared into the distance.
"I'll work on it,"
he grumbled.
"I don't mind them."
"I'll work on it,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk bit out with more strength. "Right." Kim Dokcha looked away with a stiff shrug.
"I can get you the number of a plumber if you want," he said. "A good one. My apartment's plumbing isn't great."
There was no answer before the elevator opened to let them in. Kim Dokja leaned against the wall as Yoo Jung-hyuk pushed the fourth floor button. Kim Dokja set his drink in the cup holder to get his phone out of his pocket, then nudged Yoo Jung-hyuk's arm with it. The man stopped staring a hole in the closed doors to glance down. He looked back up at Kim Dokja, unwelcoming.
"Your cacao talk?"
Kim Dokja insisted.
"I'll send you the plumber's contact information."
"Don't you already know my phone number?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, irony heavy in his voice. Kim Dokja pondered that.
"I'm missing 2 digits, I think," he said truthfully.
Yoo Jung-hyuk snorted. Kim Dokja wondered if he had crossed a line. But Yoo Jung-hyuk just took out his own phone and scanned the QR code Kim Dokcha had pulled up. Kim Dokcha accepted the friend request. The elevator deposited them in the lobby as he was filling the nickname field with a sunfish emoticon. "See you later," he said, moving toward his and Uriel's office.
"Kim Dokcha."
He stopped in his tracks. Yoo Jung-hyuk was frowning at him.
Did you ever need medication?"
It took him a long, blank moment to understand the question. Enlightenment came to him with an uneasy swoop of his stomach. There was medication that could dampen the fulgurations, that was true. Some people had to take it when their jobs required it, or when their soulmates turned out to have no respect for boundaries, or had mental conditions difficult to bear. His father had once made noise about shoving the pills down his throat. But the man had never had the money to spare, had he?
"I told you I don't mind them,"
Kim Dokja snapped. Did Yoo Jung Hyuk think him so weak? Yoo Jung Hyuk kept staring at him, like he was waiting for more. This bastard, what did he want? For Kim Dokja to start spinning some sob story? Finally, Yoo Jung Hyuk went on his way. There was a crease on his forehead. Kim Dokja held in a scoff and turned. That's when he spotted Uriel at the office's door. She was glowing with curiosity. So? She said. What was that about? Kim Dokja shoved his third cup at her. A bribe for your silence, he said, only half serious. She rolled her eyes.
Damn, fine. Oh, you got me caramel.
Yoo Jung Hyuk had totally spilled the beans to Namgun Minyoung. Kim Dokja wondered if he was even aware that he had done so. He was too stubborn to answer her questions outright, but also abysmally bad at hiding anything from her. It was very possible that she only had a well-informed guess. It would explain why she was still trying to extract a confession from Kim Dokja. Jung Hyuk-hee always told me he didn't have a soulmate, you know, she said conversationally, as she took her time preparing her tea. But the more I think about that, the less it makes sense. It's common knowledge that everyone has one. Doesn't Kim Dokja see agree? Kim Dokja hummed. It was difficult to escape the break room while his employer was talking to him. Han Dong-hoon sat at the table, watching them curiously over his phone. He probably wasn't used to Namgun Minyoung talking about such private things with random staff members. But then why wouldn't Jung Hyuk-hee know anything about his? She continued. Some people have very faint fulgurations. I suppose. But isn't it the soulmate's responsibility to make contact in that case? Now she was just pushing it. Does everyone make contact with their soulmate? He countered mildly, his eyes on his cup of water. President Neem, are you in contact with your soulmate then? Yes, I am. That stopped him short. He wouldn't have expected it from her. She was a practical woman. Did being acquainted with her soulmate benefit her in some way? Wait. Kyrgios Rodgrain was a foreign name. Where had those two met? How had they become close enough that she had immediately run to him to create a company? Namgun Minyoung watched the cogs turning in his head. It looks like you have some brains, she said, baring sharp teeth. Then why don't you tell me, since you're so smart, why wouldn't Jung Hyuk-hee's soulmate make contact with him? And if they were going to do it now, why wouldn't they do it earlier? He is nearly 30. What could have stopped them all this time? A number of things, I'm sure, President Neem, he said with a polite bow. Please excuse me, I really should get back to work. Master was lying next to the door. At his approach, she rose to her feet, ready to bar his way. He slipped her a biscuit he had filched from the box on the sink counter. She lost all interest in him, letting him escape into the corridor. It was true that Kim Dokja could have contacted Yoo Jung Hyuk once he was living away from his parents. His relatives couldn't have cared less about what he was doing, so there was nobody stopping him anymore. He toyed with the idea for a long time. Meanwhile, Yoo Jung Hyuk was falling deeper into the rabbit hole that was the ways of survival. In those days, WOS was a stupidly hard game, and Yoo Jung Hyuk was a stupidly stubborn individual. Kim Dokja lost count of how many times the fulguration showed him that same death message. Mauled by monsters, fallen from a cliff, burned by lava, attacked by other players, drowned, sometimes even swallowed by a random bug. Supreme King truly was a sunfish character. But as time went on, the game stabilized and became more popular. Yoo Jung Hyuk always played at the same PC Bang, a shady place with a few rows of computers installed in the basement, and some of the regulars noticed him. They started paying him to raise their levels. Word got around. One day, Namgun Minyoung appeared. Yoo Jung Hyuk never returned to that dark basement. At 15, he won the first Korean WOS tournament. Kim Dokja saw it happen on a screen,
the first glimpse he caught of that small black-clad character outside of his own head, the pride that he felt could have choked him. That was a good moment to contact Yoo Jin-hyuk, surely, he thought, to congratulate him, if nothing else. Then his mother's book came out. All of Kim Dokja's tentative plans fell to dust. How could he in good conscience expose Yoo Jin-hyuk to the reporters haunting his footsteps, to the sordid scrutiny, to the cruel whispers? Yoo Jin-hyuk deserved better. He stopped visiting his mother. Not only had she broken her promise to find his soulmate together, she had robbed him of the chance to do it on his own. He found that he could no longer bear to see her face. Yoo Jin-hyuk didn't attempt to contact him either. That was fine. Kim Dokja was grateful enough that he could keep watching him. Some days it was all that kept him going. While his existence had turned hellish, little by little, Yoo Jin-hyuk's future was getting brighter. Supreme King had stopped dying. With Namgun Min-yong's help, Yoo Jin-hyuk swept through every WOS tournament. He attracted professional attention. As for the woman herself, though she had started as Yoo Jin-hyuk's mentor, it didn't take her long to become more than that. To Yoo Jin-hyuk, a mother had always been a woman who paid for his groceries and talked to him twice a year. Namgun Min-yong changed that. Yoo Jin-hyuk's makeshift family gained its third member the day his absent parents brought home a newborn. This is Mia. Please treat her well, Jin-hyuk-a. Kim Dok-ja was there. He saw Yoo Jin-hyuk's two big hands shake as he touched her, heard his terrified thoughts that he would do something wrong, would hurt her somehow. Yoo Jin-hyuk loved Mia immediately, fiercely, and so Kim Dok-ja loved her too. But that streak of good luck couldn't last. Soon after he turned 19, Yoo Jin-hyuk's parents disappeared entirely. Their numbers were disconnected. The money stopped coming. Maybe they were dead. Maybe they weren't. It didn't matter much to Yoo Jin-hyuk. All he knew was that he, only nominally an adult himself, was left the sole guardian of a young child. He had already been raising Mia, but the loss of his parents' income meant that he was forced to think of his career in a more long-term light than he had until then. He was playing professionally by that point, but esport athletes retired young. If he wanted to be able to support Mia until she gained her own independence, he had to start planning. Namgun Min-yong was the one to suggest a new internet trend, live streaming. And so, one day, college student Kim Dok-ja found himself creating a Starstream account. He refreshed the search page until the brand new Supreme King channel finally appeared. "So slow, Jin-hyuk-a," he muttered. "Are you an old man?" He subscribed. He had given up on meeting Yoo Jin-hyuk, but surely this was okay. He already watched every one of Supreme King's tournaments, and the distance of a video screen wasn't too different from the fulgurations. There was no harm in helping the channel take off. The more followers Yoo Jin-hyuk had from the start, the more the Starstream algorithm would promote him. Kim Dok-ja could just watch the streams and make up the numbers. Or at least that had been the plan. "Really?" Kim Dok-ja exclaimed, as Yoo Jin-hyuk opened his inventory again. He had already spent 10 minutes tweaking his build and half an hour farming the most tedious quest available on the map. Kim Dok-ja slumped on his desk. Yoo Jin-hyuk played with zero regard for his audience. Yoo Jin-hyuk played as if he didn't have an audience. Before Kim Dok-ja knew it, he was in the chat.
A reader.
Yoo Jin-hyuk-nim, don't you think you should talk more on stream? Or do more interesting quests? Yoo Jin-hyuk glanced at his second screen. He frowned. Kim Dok-ja was the first person to speak in the chat, so there was really no missing his line. His heart beat harder in his chest as he realized what he had just done. He had broken his and Yoo Jin-hyuk's unspoken no-contact agreement. He gulped as he waited for a reaction. Yoo Jin-hyuk turned back to the game. Kim Dok-ja was struck dumb for a moment. Maybe it shouldn't have surprised him to be ignored. Yoo Jin-hyuk had always ignored him. Kim Dok-ja had abstained from using his real name, but maybe this pseudonym was too obvious and Yoo Jin-hyuk suspected who he was.
Still, the snub felt different in this context. He was trying to help, wasn't he? Hurt didn't really have a chance to register. Annoyance won by a landslide.
A reader.
Oh, nice.
A reader.
Is that how you're going to treat your loyal viewers, Yu Jinghyo?
A reader.
I know this is new for you, but maybe you should do some research.
A reader.
I hear Reaching Nirvana is a successful channel these days.
A reader.
Though on second thought, he seems very annoying, so maybe not.
A reader.
They? I think he's a they.
A reader.
I don't know, new pronouns confuse me.
Shut up,
was growled into his earphones. Kim Dokcha mashed his keyboard. He barely managed to yank his hands away before they could touch the enter key in their rampage. He closed his eyes hard enough to see stars. After a few deep breaths, he opened them again. So, Yu Jinghyuk was talking to him now. Great. That was... He ignored the part of his brain that wanted him to yank his computer's power cord out of the wall socket and go lock himself in the bathroom.
A reader.
Maybe I wouldn't be spamming the chat if I wasn't bored. Did you think of that?
You can leave,
Yu Jinghyuk growled.
A reader.
Yu Jinghyuk, are you even trying to make this work?
A reader.
I am literally your only viewer right now.
For a moment, they both watched the viewer count. It tentatively switched to 2, then immediately returned to 1. Probably a misclick. Yu Jinghyuk scowled. From that moment on, he refused to look at the chat anymore. Kim Dokcha gave up. Who gave him such a mule for a second half? After the dinner at Namgun Minyong's, Yu Jinghyuk seemed to unwind. His eyes still followed Kim Dokcha across the room, but he no longer looked like he was considering wrenching his head from his shoulders. Kim Dokcha was able to approach him about the team's new jackets without fearing for his life. They were huddled over Kim Dokcha's laptop, Kim Dokcha dutifully jotting down Yu Jinghyuk's remarks.
What about us? Kim Namun complained. Don't we get to see them?
Kim Namun.
Yi Hyun-sung sighed.
I want to make sure they look cool. You grandpas have no sense of style.
Anyone who looked at Yu Jinghyuk and called him uncool was a blatant liar. Usually, Yi Ji-hae would have been on Kim Namun in a heartbeat for daring to say something so idiotic. But she wasn't paying attention to him. The design isn't finalized, Kim Dokcha said. But take a look if you want. He turned the screen toward them, mostly so Yi Ji-hae would stop glaring at him for daring to sit so close to Yu Jinghyuk. At least the girl seemed to be the last holdout of the office. Namgun Minyong was content to look from afar for now, and Kyrgios had aligned his attitude to hers. Gabriel and Uriel delighted in having someone to boss around. Han Dong-hoon seemed to find his company agreeable, as they could spend entire breaks together without speaking or looking up from their respective phones. A few friendly conversations with Lee Hyun-sung had been enough for the man to open up. Kim Namun bugged him about anything under the sun, from his relationship to Yu Jinghyuk. Why don't you ask him? To his opinion on dragons. Overrated. Even Jang Hyung's team was friendly. Kim Dokcha would often make coffee runs when both teams took their breaks together.
Hey, why didn't you get master anything?
Yi Ji-hae huffed angrily the first time he distributed the cups. Kim Dokcha lifted his eyebrows. He looked pointedly at the sleek metal water bottle Yu Jinghyuk had brought from the training room. What, so you or Kim Namun can steal it when he doesn't drink it? Kind of shameless, don't you think? Yi Ji-hae blushed, taken aback. Jang Hyung laughed.
You're a good judge of character, out to sea. You can already tell.
Yu Jinghyuk snorted at that. Kim Dokcha chose not to react. If Yu Jinghyuk suspected that Kim Dokcha had used his knowledge from the bond to get hired, he didn't say anything. He seemed more preoccupied with the new fulgurations than with old ones. The first use he made of Kim Dokcha's contact info, only days after their initial conversation, was to send him a message one evening.
You better not be listening, Kim Dokja.
Kim Dokja, who had been reading on his phone and had just been wrenched out of a particularly poignant death scene by the sudden notification, squinted at the text. Well, now he was curious. What was it that Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't want him to hear? Another conversation with Mia? Or was he on the phone with Lee Sol-ba? Maybe he was thinking up ways to kill Kim Dokja and dump his body in the river. I'm not. But do you realize that even if I was in the middle of a fulguration, I couldn't do anything to stop it, right? There was no answer. Unsurprised, Kim Dokja went back to his novel. An hour later, Kim Dokja migrated to his bed so he could keep reading while his phone charged. The cable was just long enough to keep the phone plugged in as long as he sat awkwardly against the wall. He was stretching his cramping wrist when the device vibrated in his hand. It slipped through his fingers and disappeared into the sheets. He fished it out with a hiss of tired frustration and groped for the disconnected cable. There was a new message on the screen.
Tell me when they start.
Kim Dokja frowned. What, you mean warn you every time?
Yes.
That sounds like a very bad idea, Yoo Jung-hyuk.
Just tell me.
What was this all of a sudden? His skin crawled. Something about that request felt ominous. What if you're sleeping or busy?
Are you refusing?
Let's talk about this tomorrow, okay? Maybe the night would bring Yoo Jung-hyuk clarity and he would realize how unreasonable he was being. Right. And maybe pigs would fly. The next morning, as Kim Dokja approached Transcendence Gaming, Yoo Jung-hyuk charged up to him right there on the sidewalk. He had obviously spent the night working himself up to a frothing anger.
I have the right to know,
he ground out, sparing no greeting. Seeing him like this, it was clear that Kim Dokja wouldn't be able to change his mind. He really had the most stubborn soulmate in the world. He should switch that sunfish emoticon for a donkey.
Kim Dokja.
Yoo Jung-hyuk stressed, grabbing a fistful of his suit jacket. Yes, yes, I heard you. He clicked his tongue and pried him off. Fine, we'll try it your way. Yoo Jung-hyuk gave him a distrustful look, but swept ahead of him into the lobby. It was hard to begrudge him some control of the bond. If Kim Dokja thought about it, it couldn't be nice for Yoo Jung-hyuk to know that he was projecting bits and pieces of his life to a stranger. Still, this felt wrong. 2 days later, Kim Dokja was answering some emails when the white screen bled WOS's bright colors in front of his eyes. This is your warning. Yoo Jung-hyuk noticed his silenced phone lighting up from the corner of his eye. He waited for the few minutes it took his team to finish the current scrimmage before picking it up. Kim Dokja felt his spike of surprise.
What, now? He thought.
Kim Dokja typed without waiting for a proper response. Most of them are completely random, you know. The message appeared on Yoo Jung-hyuk's phone as he was still debating answering something. A muscle jumped on Yoo Jung-hyuk's jaw. A mixture of embarrassment and irritation bloomed in his mind.
Kim Dokja, he thought in reproof.
Despite himself, Kim Dokja felt his lips curve. For years, Yoo Jung-hyuk had been a black hole to him, absorbing any thought he believed he sent and never reflecting anything back. The total lack of attention Yoo Jung-hyuk had paid the bond had been daunting. But now, here, he could say something and feel Yoo Jung-hyuk react. It was weirdly thrilling.
Yoo Jung-hyuk.
Yoo Jung-hyuk glared at his phone. He slammed it face down and called to his three teammates for the start of another session. But Yoo Jung-hyuk was distracted. Even trying to concentrate on the game could only take him so far. He second-guessed his decisions more than usual and kept reviewing his own thoughts in a strange feedback loop.
Lee Ji-hae still can't do that combo properly. Did he hear that? I asked for it on purpose. The point of training sessions is to work on our weaknesses. Am I justifying myself to that guy? Why? It's a fact that she still can't do it.
He had never been so long-winded. His thoughts usually short and to the point.
Kim Dokja resisted the urge to gloat that he had been right about the stupidity of the warnings. He kept chipping at his own work, yet it was more difficult than usual to ignore the fulguration. He could sense Yoo Jin-hyuk's focus on him, and it was instinctual to return it, the way he would automatically look up at someone speaking to him. Eventually, Yoo Jin-hyuk announced a break. Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Nam-moon scurried out of the room with the speed of people used to keeping track of his moods. Kim Dokja heard the three gamers pass in front of his office. The continuity from the fulgurations to real life felt strange, as if characters from a novel had just escaped the page.
"What do you think has got him flipping his wig this time?"
Kim Nam-moon said, not bothering to lower his voice. Lee Ji-hae shushed him angrily.
"You saw him on his phone. Maybe he got some bad news."
Yoo Jin-hyuk, meanwhile, hadn't moved. He was still in his chair, elbows on the armrests, forehead resting against his crossed hands. Curious, Kim Dokja paid more attention. Yoo Jin-hyuk was recalling half-forgotten lessons and painstakingly stitching them together. Kim Dokja only understood what he was doing when the fulguration closed, yanking him back into his own skin. Bond control. Yoo Jin-hyuk had decided to work on his bond control.
"Are you doing all right, Dokja Si?"
Uriel said, peering worriedly at him. What did he look like, for her to ask? Smiling at her took an inordinate amount of energy.
Just a bit of a stomach ache. Must be something I ate."
He hunched over his keyboard and swallowed back nausea.